counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. Knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain, can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine.
Power divine, say. and I'm not going to hell.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank
God.
Boy, Revelation chapter number two. God gave us something on our heart. And we don't know. This is another one of those times. God only didn't give us much time to meditate or to study things out. And I'm one of them that loves to study everything out. But God, I guess, has reminded me that I'm not the preacher. And it's not based upon my knowledge, but it's based upon His Word and His power. And so I'm going to be reading, I said Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3. You pray for us, we covet your prayers. And Revelation chapter number 3, if you got it, say amen.
Amen.
If you ain't got it, say hold up, preacher. All right, if you'd be willing, if you'd like to, stand with us. We're going to start reading that verse number 1, Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 1. And we're going to be reading the first 6 verses. And this is what the writer, John the Revelator, wrote. He said, "Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, saith he that, he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Would you help me pray? Precious Master and wonderful God, Father, we thank you once again for all the singing and all the, so far, the service, everything that's took place and went on. But God, we pray, Lord Father, for your will to be done. We pray, Lord God, that you honor your word, Lord Father, and please honor your preacher, Lord Father. Honor the calling, not me, but Lord, your calling. And Lord, preach through us tonight. God, as we have this on our heart, Lord Father, we believe you placed it there, Lord, but we don't want to go too far or go get sidetracked or go in a way, in a shape or form, Lord Father, and it's not of your will nor your spirit. And Father, I'm glad tonight, Lord Father, you know exactly what we stand in need of, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord, we would open up our heart and receive exactly, just exactly what you'd want us to hear. But Lord, as it said at the end of that, sixth verse, "He that hath the ear, let him hear what your Spirit saith." And Lord, I know your Spirit. I know you are going to speak, Lord Father. But Lord, it's our ears, Lord Father, that need to be tuned in. Father, I pray tonight, Lord Father, we'd have those ears to hear exactly what you're saying. It's in your Son's sweet, precious name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Amen. I want to say thank you for standing and reading with us. And we want to be preaching on tonight. My heart is centered upon verse number 2. He says, "Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain, and that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." I want to preach on, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain. The things that remain. Can I say there's some things that we have in our life, some things, there's some evidences, there's some things that God has left in our life if we're saved this evening. And these are the things that we should strengthen. These are the things that we should be built up in. The things that we should rely upon and always stay close, near, and dear. A lot of times we get through this life, or sometimes we'll get through the day or be upon the start of a day, and sometimes things just don't go the way we thought they would go. And sometimes things just don't happen the way that we thought they would happen. But can I say this tonight? We've got to realize that we have to be watchful and strengthen the things that we have within our life. There's a lot of things we can't control. We can't control the weather. We can't control how other people drive down the road. We can't control how other people are going to act. We can't control how the stock market's going to go up and down. We can't control the paycheck. We can't control the raise. But the one thing we can be watchful and strengthened is the things that we have that God has placed in our life. And so many times as God has begun to show me this scripture and began to show me the things about the church of Sardis, and here in the book of Revelations, there's a letter written to every church. And almost every church, and most of the churches you find where they have some things that are good, but they also have some things that are wrong. And can I say this tonight? I'm 100% in full agreement with the Lord. And that we've got to realize is that after we're saved, it's not just a stool of do-nothing. It's not the pew of relaxation. But what it is some things that is required at our hands. If we're going to make it through the day and not have to worry about our parade being rained on, if we're going to make it through the day and make it through the week, there's some things we got to realize, things that we've got to be built up in, the things that we've got to be strengthened in, the things that we've got to realize that it will take some effort for us to do. I do know this. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, bodily exercise profiteth little. But the Bible does say that we ought to be built up in our most holy faith. And can I say this tonight? The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. That's the reason why it's so important, so essential in our lives, that the Word of God be in our lives, and that the Word of God would be the things that we would look for and seek to, and the things that we've got to realize. But the things I want to get to the things that God laid upon my heart, but I also want to get to the things in the Scriptures that God had really placed there. We got back from eating. We went to Frisch's and had ourselves a meal. A bunch of us did. And we come back to the church house. And we began to seek the face of the Lord. And God just wouldn't let me get free of these verses in Revelation chapter number 3. But He also wouldn't let me get no further than a handful of verses. I had to take myself a little snoozer, a little nap to get my head clear, to get rested. And He began to tell me some things that we ought to be strengthened up in. Some things that we ought to be really tight in. Some things that we can't let nobody else do to us. If you'd like to follow along, or maybe get a CD afterwards in Psalm chapter number 40. I'm going to be reading some familiar scriptures upon this. Because if we're saved tonight, we need to really be strengthened and watch and sure up some things. I guess you could say tonight, I guess if you could find a parallel verse or a verse that would hold hands with this verse in Revelation chapter number 3 about being strengthened and watchful and the things that are left, things that are remaining. As it says in Hebrews chapter number 2, that we ought to give the more earnest heed the things of which we had heard, lest at any times we let them slip. And can I say it today? The world has slipped. Our country has slipped. And a lot of folks have slipped in the things that they have heard. Once before, you could find people that really stuck to the gospel and stuck to the word and stuck to the power of God. But as time has marched on and as technology has increased and the knowledge of man has increased, the things that God has once said, Brother James, it's been preached here, and I'll never forget that message. There's some things that's been slipping in people's lives. And so can I say tonight, it's not a message to get on us to say that we're slipping, but it's a charge or it's an encouragement tonight. If I can encourage you tonight, be encouraged in the things that remain in your life. The psalmist wrote in Psalm chapter number 40, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of a miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. We should strengthen ourselves up in the fact that God has always been blessing and helping us out. Aren't you glad tonight that He pulled you up out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay? Aren't you glad? That song, it said, mercy came running. I'm glad when justice was calling. I'm glad mercy came and took my place. I'm glad when I was in the miries of sin that He still reached down and pulled me out. I love old song. I do believe it's number 23. 23 when he reached down his hand for me. I mean, it would do us some good to be strengthened up in the fact that knowing, yes, we were not worthy, that we were not worthy to be called the sons of God. But oh, aren't you glad tonight to know that he reached down his hand and saved your soul in the time of the darkest of despairs, in the time of conviction, when it grips your soul and hell got a hold of your life. You cried out unto God and he inclined his ear unto you. I'm glad tonight to know that our cries can also get the attention of God. I'm glad to know tonight that no matter what comes our way, I'm glad he has settled us upon the rock, and that rock being Jesus Christ. I'm glad he's established our goings. That means that we don't have to worry about where our steps are going to be next. We don't have to worry about which way we're headed, because he's established our goings, and the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Somebody hear this preacher tonight? We ought to be strengthened tonight, and the fact that God heard us and inclined unto us. So many times we will get in the situation and we will think about how everybody's turned against us, and folks may not be loving us, or folks may not want us around. But aren't you glad that God loves us and God wants us around? Some folks don't want to hear about your problems. Some folks don't want to hear about your bad day. And some folks don't want to hear about the situations you're in. But I'm glad God has always got an ear to find unto his children. I'm glad over in verse number 16 and verse number 17, it says this. It says, "Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee." I'm glad. Can I stop right there? So many times we forgive. We've got a clear pathway. Oh, thank God we've got a mediator between us and God. And we should rejoice and be glad. Before we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Before we were strangers under the covenants of promise. Before we were dogs and we didn't even deserve the bread that was given unto the children. Before we were the outcasts. Before we could not even come inside the holiest of holies. But oh, but through and by the blood of Christ are we made nigh. And the wall of partition that separated us has been ripped from top to the bottom. Does anybody know why that partition was ripped from the top down to the bottom? Because man couldn't reach up to the top. But aren't you glad God grabbed a hold of her from upstairs and ripped her all the way down to us, that we could have a way to get to the holiest of holies? Oh, it's not our righteousness. Oh, it's not our holiness. But it is his, and we should be strengthened tonight and remaining in our heart that God inclined unto us. He also says, "Let such as love thy salvation say, continue the Lord, be magnified." One of my favorite verses is that next verse. It says, "But I'm poor and needy, and yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my Lord." I'm glad there's nothing. Oh, in my hand, no price I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Oh, the Bible says, "I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me." Oh, think I say this tonight? You may be in trouble. You may be in a situation. You may be depressed and you may be discouraged. You may find yourself in a situation and you're saying, "I don't know which way to go. I'm buried in up over my head." But aren't you glad tonight? The Bible says the Lord thinketh upon us. I mean, he could be thinking about a lot of things. He could be thinking about the election. His mind could be torn or turned away. And who's going to be the next president of the United States? But our God is the all-knowing God. He knows exactly who's going to be president. And they can't be president unless God says it's okay for them to be president. Somebody say right, say amen right there. Our God is an all-knowing God. He's an all-loving God. He's an all-powerful God. And he's an all-present God. And oh, can I say this tonight, Haley? He thinks upon you and he thinks upon me. Oh, he said, "Well, preacher, I don't have much of a life." Oh, we may not in the eyes of the world. But oh, the Bible says that God wants to give us life and life more abundantly. Amen. Can I say this tonight? Though the world may say you all ain't got much, say you're right according to your eyes. But you ought to see the inheritance I'm about to get at any moment. Woo! I mean, there's people when the loved one passes away and there's an inheritance to be divvied out. Oh, the people that were related to that person, they're in line trying to get their hand out and get their stake of the inheritance. But I'm glad the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the heir to God, but we're joint heirs with Jesus. And whatever God gives to him, we get it too. Somebody say amen right there. I'm glad to know tonight that he thinks upon me. Oh, yes. Don't get excited now. Don't get fired up. Don't get overwhelmed. Anybody hearing this, preacher? Think about this. He thinks about you. He can be thinking about how he's going to how they're going to find that unknown fish species at the bottom of the crevice of the Atlantic Ocean. But no, he's thinking about the folks at Mount Zion on a Sunday night and your struggles and your needs. Oh, can I say tonight, we should be remembering, we should be strengthened in the things about how that he loves us and how that we ought to be, how that we ought to realize that he has heard our prayer. Secondly, in Psalm chapter 137, he says this. This is what the psalmist said. Another thing that we should be thankful for. It says in Psalm chapter 137, here is the writer of the book, the Psalms, and he says in verse number 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. It says, how can I sing a song in a weary strength? How can I sing a song in a strange land? The first part of that verse, it's writing about the children of Israel. How that they have been in the place of Babylon, in the place of captivity. And they come unto them and they ask them. And they said, what you need to do is sing us one of them songs of Zion. We want to hear you sing a song of Zion. But they said, we're in a strange place. We can't sing them songs no more. We done hung our harps in the willow trees. Yeah. You don't understand how bad we've got it. You don't understand how bad it is. But oh, can I tell you this tonight? We need to be strengthening ourselves up in the song that God placed in our heart and placed in our mouth. I'm telling you, folks, it is a strange land. Yep. It is a weary land. Yep. And the one thing we ought to be doing is singing the song of Zion. Yep. I mean, you can sing the Amazing Grace. As James was saying, it was something else. You could feel the power when all that 16,000 people in U.S. Bank Arena began to sing Amazing Grace. How sweet. I got kind of disappointed. I told James I wanted to go on into the second and third and fourth verses of Amazing Grace. I'm telling you, they may tell us that we can't testify. They may tell us that we can't preach. But I'm glad we can get ourselves off in a corner and we can still sing the song of Zion. You said, preacher, you don't understand how rough my life is. You don't understand how bad the world's come against me. No, I do not, but I do know one thing. Grab that harp up out of the willow. Give her a good strum and put her in tune. And begin to sing the song of Zion. Don't sing it for the enemy. Don't sing it for the world. But sing it for God, because He placed it in your heart. And oh, get tuned up and praise Him. Because one day after a while, they make fun of the way we might sing. They may make fun of the way we preach. They make fun of the way we worship. But one day after a while, they ain't going to be able to make fun of us, because we'll be gone and we'll be singing around the throne of God that song that the angels can't sing. Woo! Bless His name tonight. Be strengthened in the song of the church. I've often heard people say they want to choose the song they want to sing. Can I say tonight, I'm just glad I get to be in the choir. Yeah. I'm glad I get to be in the choir. I mean, there's people that sing better than me. There's people that can play an instrument better than me. But when we get to heaven, it ain't based upon our ability. Yeah. Somebody say amen. It'll be based upon the redemption, power, and blood of Jesus Christ. You know, can I say tonight, sometimes I've looked out. Don't take this the wrong way. I hope you take it to your heart. And determine yourself and purpose it in your heart. I've seen it sometimes. We'll be singing. And we'll sing a song. Like we'll sing this song, How Beautiful Heaven Must Be. First one that God put in my mind. We read of a place called heaven. Oh yes, and we sing of a place called heaven. And so when we sing that song about heaven, you'd think it put a smile upon our face. You'd think it would move our hearts to realize this. That this is not our home. We're just a passing through. I mean, to realize, I mean, we don't have all the resident. Can I say this tonight? There's some people say, well, preacher, I can't memorize scriptures like other folks can. And I understand it takes effort. It takes a lot of time. But there's some things a lot of people always do memorize. And that's the words to song. Somebody say amen. Amen. You'll walk around the house and sing them. You'll walk or you'll be in the car and you'll sing them. That song will come on the radio. Or maybe you got a CD or a cassette. And you'll put it in the player. Or maybe, or I guess I'm telling my age. I'm glad I didn't say 8-track or somebody calling me grandpa. But you maybe got an MP3 player or an iPhone.
and you can have that favorite song on there. You can put the earbuds in or crank her up loud on the speaker, and it don't matter who's a listener, you can still sing that song of Zion. I'm telling you, we ought to be strengthened up in the song. We get to sing a song that the angels can't even sing. When we get to glory, when we get to heaven, all them angels are going to have to stand back, and we all get to join into that heavenly choir and sing about the blood, and sing about Jesus Christ, and sing about salvation and amazing grace. Some people might say, well, we're going to sing that song, I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Some folks say we're going to sing the song, Amazing Grace. Some folks say we're going to sing the song, I'll Fly Away. I don't know what song we're going to sing, but I'm just glad I get to sing in the choir. Amen. And sing that heavenly song. Amen. Can I say this tonight? If you have got a voice, the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You may think I'm crazy. Make up words. Make up things. Make you up a song throughout your day. You say, preacher, you're crazy. I'm telling you, it's better for you to get your mind settled and strengthened up in the things that God has done in your life, the things that remain, the things that He's given us. I know a lot of people's looking for the fancy stuff, but I'm telling you, it's the things that you see are temporal, but the things that are unseen, they are eternal. And I'm telling you, He left us something in our heart and in our soul that we can trust in, rely on, and be strengthened up in, and be watchful over. The one thing is to realize that His ear is always opened unto us. And secondly, that we've got a song that we can sing. Secondly, or thirdly, can I say this tonight? Psalm chapter 66. We should be strengthened up in the fact that He hears our prayer. Huh? Now, He doesn't hear our prayers always. Oh, y'all just looked at me all of a sudden like I just cussed. He doesn't always hear our prayers. Somebody say amen right there. You said, preacher, you got Bible for it? Absolutely, I do. Absolutely, I do. But it's not to say how evil we are. It's to say the reason why we should be strengthened up in our prayer life. Prayer life is a fragile thing. Prayer is fragile. It's like the Spirit of the Lord is fragile. And a prayer life is fragile. A lot of people don't understand this and don't realize this, because whenever something like this is said, the first thing they do is they paint themselves up a banner and says, you're judging me. You're judging me. But this is why we ought to be thankful. And since I'm not going to preach it, I'm just going to read it. It's in Psalm chapter number 66. In verse number 16, he says, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. That means He's wanting to tell somebody what God's done. Has anybody ever got them, I want to tell somebody what God's done for me? Amen. Can I say this? That's how I knew I got saved. Whenever I got saved, I was sitting there and I was standing around. We was up in Cary, Ohio. I was standing around. And Tammy says, what do you want to go do? And I said, what do you do? She goes, you want to go tell somebody? And that just leaped all over me. I wanted to go tell somebody what God had done for my soul. In the 17th verse, he says, I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. Extolled means He was praised. Now, verse number 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. A lot of folks don't realize that. They'll realize, why can't my prayers get through? Why ain't things getting better? Because the Lord can't hear you, because your sins have separated you from the Lord, is what Isaiah said. And a lot of times, I'm going to stop right here and park for a second. Y'all don't mind? God's telling me to park right here. It's not to say that we're evil. It's not to say that we're no good. Can I tell you this? The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. But it's pointing out the very fact that you cannot regard iniquity in your life. You can't keep sin in your house and in your life and in your heart. Because when you do, God will not hear your prayers. They're covered up. Your life is covered up. Oh, God still sees and still knows what's going on. But every time you go to pray unto Him, all He hears is blah, 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 blah. blah, blah, blah. And it says in the New Testament, he says, everybody that nameth the name Lord should depart from iniquity. I'm telling you it tonight that it's still right, it's still purpose that we should try to live a sinless life. And somebody says, preacher, you're not sinless. I'm not saying that I am, but what I am saying is, unless you get the sin out and ask God to forgive you, He'll never hear your prayer. Can I say this tonight? Just so you young people don't think I'm picking on the older people. That goes for the young people too. I had somebody get upset with me one time. Young person, singing and come short. They said, what do you do with them? I said, if they're saved, you deal with them the way that you would an adult person. You go to them in love. You offer up your shoulder, your ear, and your arm, and you love them. Right?
Yes, right.
Don't get me wrong. I've heard of the jacklegs. I've heard, and I've even seen them, been in church with them. They'll call out a young person and embarrass them because they feel like they can get away from it because they're older than them. And maybe sometimes their parents are too scared to say something. That's a bunch of hooey. You ought not to do that. Fragile teenage, fragile young people. Because they can turn off a man of God and they can turn off a church just like that. And you can't win them back. But can I say, you pull them aside, you tell them that you love them. And the Bible says, train them up in the way that they should go. But then when they grow old, they won't depart from it. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people who said they got saved at a young age, but they never found out how to deal with sin. And sin mounted up, and sin mounted up, and sin mounted up. And every time they pray, they couldn't bust through into glory because the prayers wouldn't go no farther than the roof of their mouth. And the reason why was because there was iniquity in their life. And instead of somebody pulling them aside, and loving them and helping them and letting them know that God still loves them and they're not trash and they're still alright and God's got them in their arms and He loves them, they toss them aside and they're in the ditch somewhere and they can't get nowhere in life. He says if you regard iniquity in your life, you will not be heard. Now just so you adult people think that I forgot about you, can I say this? There's a lot of things in our life that we'll justify. Huh? Now, I'm not chasing a rabbit, but I'm going to give you what God gives me. If we, as the adults, if we don't recognize sin in our own life, it was said here Wednesday night or something like that, something along this effect, oh, it's real easy to point out somebody else's beam in their eye until it comes time to recognize the boat in theirs. Is that right or is it the other way around? I like two befores better. Two by twos and two befores. More easy to understand. A lot of folks will point out that little splinter from a two by two in your eye. Two by two's about that big. Splinter's about yay big. And the whole entire time they're looking at you like you're some awful person. They got a two by four or a two by six. Smack dab blindfolded them. And they don't care about their sin. All they care about is somebody else's sin. But the Bible's telling us that we're to strengthen. We are to strengthen. We are to be there for one for another. He said the first thing we should do is pull that beam out of our eye. Amen. Pull it out of our eye and then help that other one get it out of theirs.
Right.
Can I say this tonight? If we regard iniquity in our Verse number 19. He says, if we regard iniquity in our heart, we will not be heard. But he says in the 19th verse, but verily God hath heard me. He hath attended unto the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Isn't it good to know tonight that when you may try to call somebody on the phone, maybe you try to text message them or message them on Facebook or send them an email, or call them on a regular phone. I don't know if anybody's still got regular phones, but if you do, you try to call them on a regular phone, and you can't get a hold of them. You get an answer machine, or you get no response. Isn't it good to know tonight that you can call on God at any time of the day? And any time of the night, He don't sleep. He don't get tired. He's not like man. And whenever you need Him, He's just a prayer away. You can fall upon your knees or you can just bow down your head. You can even be laying on your bed and just begin to call out unto God and say, God, I'm in need. I'm in need. Or maybe you just want to brag on Him and tell Him how good He is in your life. Maybe you just want to say, I just want to thank you, Lord, for every time you heard my prayer.
Amen.
We should be strengthened up in prayer. Another thing we ought to realize, be strengthened up in, is that we have a testimony with God. Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 11. I'm not going to turn to it, but this is what it says. It says that we overcome the wicked one by the testimony and the blood of the Lamb. We got on this morning about that testimony, about how it's fragile. Can I say tonight, if God saved your soul, it's the most powerful thing that you can tell somebody. It's how God changed your life. Oftentimes I've heard people say, I don't know the words to tell them. And I've been there. I'm not saying that it's wrong that you don't have the words. But can I tell you, a lot of times we neglect and forget the most important thing that we have. And that's the testimony. We can tell somebody about how God saved our soul, dealt with this, changed our life. A testimony is not just a date. It's not just a time that you bent your knee, and though those things are good. But a testimony is a change and a journey that's been going on. Can I tell you this tonight? My testimony ain't been finished yet. It's still being written. It's still being written. The Bible says that we are a written epistle open unto all men to be read of all men. That our life is an open book. When folks see our lives and they see the life that we have lived or the life that we're living, it is an open epistle unto people. Can I say this, Brother Junior? I don't get to pick the people that reads my book. I don't get to pick the people that reads my testimony. My testimony is just out there for everybody to read. I'm feeling something right there. Y'all just bear with me for a second. Because a lot of times people says, well, I don't care what other people say about me, what other people see about me. But you should care. You should care what people think about you. Not that you're trying to please them. Don't get me wrong. I don't think you should try to go out of your way to please somebody so that they'll be happy. But you should go out of your way to please the Lord. To please the Lord. Because I want to say this. There's a lot of people that sees you outside of church that know more about you before they get in church and see how you are. And that testimony is how you overcome the wicked one. When they sing that song, It's Under the Blood, you all going to think I'm crazy. But I heard that song before, but I never paid attention to it. One night we was in a church service. And that song began to sing about walking down a memory lane not so long ago. Oh, Satan came by my side, making me feel low. He brought up all the hurt and pain when I had gone astray. Started reminding me all the sins I'd done. Everything that I'd done, he was reminding me. And what he was saying was, you're the biggest hypocrite in this place. He was reminding me of all the stuff that I'd done wrong. Now don't get me wrong, I wasn't doubting being saved. God had delivered me from the doubts. But I don't know how many times he's come by my way and he has always made me feel, you know, you ain't much if they knew your past. If they knew your past. But when they started singing, It's Under the Blood, oh, praises to your name, I couldn't help it. Next thing you know, I'm standing up on my feet and I'm just crying and squalling like a newborn baby. Just to let him know that, yes, you may have that record of my past life. And just because you may know all the bad things that I've done, that don't mean you have anything held upon me. Amen. Because the Bible said that God chooses not to remember my sin. It's all under the blood. The blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was shed for a specific person, a purpose. And that blood was shed because the Bible says by the shedding of blood, under the law, almost all things were purged by it. And without that shedding, there is no remission. So if there was no blood sacrifice for our sins, we would still be under the curse of the law. And back then, under the curse of the law, they had to make a sacrifice every year for their sin. But it never took sin away. But aren't you glad tonight when Jesus came, the spotless Lamb, the Lamb that did not have a blemish, offered up Himself upon the cross of Calvary. And that holiest of holy temple, that place was rent, that partition was rent, that we may have access and we can get to God. Now some of you may think I'm crazy, but when He first appeared unto Mary in the garden, He told Mary, He says, don't touch me for I have not yet ascended unto my Father. But then you find Him after a little later, He comes to Thomas 8 days later and says, touch my hand and touch my side. Now what happened during those 8 days? You may think I'm crazy, But I think up in glory he took that blood that was a perfect blood, that was a perfect sacrifice, and laid it upon the altar in the mercy seat of God. That we don't have to go to cross. We don't have to get on a boat or a plane and go to Israel and try to find out where old Calvary is. But we can bow down on our knees in a church. We can bow down on our knees at home. We can pull over on the side of the road in the car. And God said you can get to glory and you can get to my mercy seat. And there's blood applied for your sin. Victory was given me when I was born again. Can I get back to the verse now, to Revelation chapter number 3? Why should we strengthen these things? First reason why is there's a great falling away. There's a great falling away. I heard a missionary say this. When he came back to the United States of America, he said it amazes him every time he comes back to the United States of America. And the pastor of the church, when he come back, asked him why he was so amazed. He says, the great falling away. He says, yeah. He goes, you don't see it over in the place where I'm at like you do in this country. Everybody's got a religion. Everybody's got them a song. Everybody's got them a doctrine. And the Bible says that they have turned unto fables and to stories. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse 1, read it. He said, some shall depart from the faith, giving themselves over to seducing spirits. They get their stuff worked up in the flesh. Can I say something about I was telling, there was this group that come on during that winter jam, and I saw them, and I turned and looked and told somebody, I said, it's like big time wrestling. Now I know some of you say you never watched it, and I don't want to embarrass you, but I've watched big time wrestling before. I've watched the boxing and the UFC. And they got that music and they blur it real loud. And what they do, they work themselves up in the flesh. They start dancing around and bopping around. Y'all ever seen that? Y'all ever seen that?
Yeah.
They work up something in their flesh. And I'm watching that one group. I'm sitting there going, Jeff, they're just working up something in their flesh. But God reminded me, I've been in some Baptist churches where they've done that.
Man, right.
Y'all hearing this preacher?
Amen.
I'll see them. They'll say, well, sing that song that made mama cry. And they'll sing that song that made mama cry. And next thing you know, they're losing it. They're about to run around. The hairpins are falling out. And they're jumping on the chandeliers. They're jumping on the ceiling fans. And they get stirred up. And everybody else in church is going, what in the world's going on? They got stirred up in the flesh. The Bible says in these latter days, that's what they'll be doing. They'll be giving themselves to seducing spirits. It's seducing them. And in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, he tells the preachers, Paul tells Timothy to do the work of evangelists. He says, preach the gospel, be instant in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke, and then exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He says, for there'll come a time when they will not hear sound doctrine. They'll turn their ears to teachers having itching ears. And that's what's going on. And there in Revelation chapter number 3, he says, you better strengthen the things that remain. You better strengthen those things that remain. If you're here tonight and you're saved, you ought to hold that salvation experience near and dear to your heart. But can I say tonight, if you have been saved, you should have some other experiences that you should be able to hold near and dear to your heart. Clutch them tight. Clutch them close. If you've got babies, if you've got kids, if you've got relatives or friends, pull them close and say, let me tell you about what God has done for me. Can I sing you a song? Can I read some scripture to you? You say, preacher, I've got some folks that don't want to hear it. I do too. I've tried. And what I do now is I find somebody else and I'll pull them close and say, can I tell you what God's done for me? Why? Because he says in Revelation chapter number 3, he says, be watchful and strengthen that which remains and that ye are ready to die. Can I say there's some things? There might be some things in our life that might be ready to go kaput and die. When's the last time you just turned off the TV and the radio and said, God, I just want to thank you? Took a little time out. Some of you's probably done it. Maybe most of you's done it. But he's saying, strengthen that. Strengthen that. This letter was given to the church of Sardis, and I know the dispensationalist says, well, that's just a time. Well, I beg to differ, friend. He's also speaking to us. He says, you better be strengthened up in those things. If God heard your prayer, it should drive you to pray. If God saved your soul, it should drive you to try to keep from the sin and from your life as much as you can. If God has saved you and blessed you and gave you joy unspeakable and full of glory, you may not have to sing in the choir up here, but you ought to sing something for Him. And last but not least, that love that He gave you, be built up in it and strengthen it. I wonder tonight as we look at these scriptures, He says, be watchful and strengthen it. He says, because I have not found you perfect. I have not found your works to be perfect before God. Now everybody, and I've said it before, God demands perfection. And you say, preacher, but I'm not perfect. Neither am I. They said, what do? You keep on working out and strengthening up that song and that prayer life. I'll say this because some folks is looking like I'm crazy. Diabetes runs in my family. Everybody on my dad's side of the family is diabetic. And they said that my dad died of pancreatic cancer, probably due to cause of diabetes. And I watched how he lived with his diabetes. He would give himself an epi shot. I call it an epi shot. I could be wrong. Some of the diabetics in here may know. You got your insulin, you twist it by how much insulin you need. You stab it, you know, somewhere, and you give yourself an insulin. You know what I'm talking about? The insulin that helps boost to bring down your sugar levels. But I watched my daddy do that, and then he'd open up a bag of Cheetos and eat a whole bag of Cheetos after he just gave himself an insulin shot. I'd look at Dad and I said, Dad, what are you doing? And just like religion, he'd get mad at me. He goes, don't tell me how to eat. Don't tell me how to live my life. I go, Dad, I'm not your boss. I'm just saying you're just defeating the whole purpose. Y'all hearing me? Doctor told me, and it says, Jason, since it runs in your family, and since you ain't a perfect picture of health, y'all's learning. It's a good thing y'all didn't say amen. He says, pretty good chance you'll get it. They test my sugar. Last time I had pneumonia, and they were scared. Tammy wasn't scared. Tammy's pretty good at the medical things. I mean, we did pay for her to go to school. And she's a nurse, and she knows it. And she says, Jason, you don't have to be alarmed. I said, but I should do something. She said, you should. So I've been trying to do things to change my life, to change the way I eat, to change the way I live. I'm not afraid of dying, but I'm afraid of how the life's going to be for my babies and for my wife, so I want to stay around for them. Y'all hearing me? I'm trying to give you an example. But if I'm just as concerned about being around for my babies about physically, we should be concerned about how we are spiritually, what kind of spiritual shape that we're in. Now, I'm not saying we're in a poor spiritual shape, but God wants to remind us tonight that if we're going to be strong in something, let's be strong in the Lord. Let's be strong in our prayers. Let's be strong in our testimony and strong in our song. There's a lot of things that hinder. There's a lot of times I've had my feelings hurt. There's been times I've hurt feelings, not knowing I did it. I never meant to do it, but I still hurt feelings. And a lot of times people don't realize, but those are those things that can really hinder and hurt. If sin is not dealt with and sin is not took care of, it will fester. It will grow. It will cost more. The old preachers would say, sin will take you farther than you're willing to go. It'll cost you more than you're willing to pay. But tonight, God wants us to be strengthened in the things that remain. I've heard people say, well, the old days are gone. Well, yeah, that's why they call them the old days we got today. But there's something to be had today. Let's strengthen the things that remain. Let's get us a song tonight. I wonder tonight, is there some things that you need the Lord's attention in? I wonder tonight if there's some things in your life you'd say, maybe you'll say, preacher, I don't sing like I used to. I've gotten so busy with the things of the world that it's cost me some of my sin. I've gotten busy with the things of the world and it's cost me my testimony time, my meditating time. First thing I forget is to grab that Bible and read all the chapters I need to. I'll get one, I'll get two. But a lot of times it's three a day. And I try to do it at work. And then I'm like, oh, I'll catch up when I get home. And I'll get catch up when I do that. Next thing you know, I'm behind. He said, I found your works not perfect. Our works are not perfect. But we should strive for it. And when we find those things that we're not strong in, let's get strengthened.